Spin Rate presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. That's right, this is Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and I am thankful that you have tuned us in today. Still talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, talking about today, the future Blue Jays. You may have heard the most recent episode with Caitlin and I. We're going to take a little break for a couple weeks, but we'll be back in no time. But we're also right to be back today, where I'm going to do the housekeeping thing where I'm going to remind you to subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/spinrate. Today's show, talking about the future. Right now in Arizona, Arizona Fall League is in full swing. First week or so in the books, Blue Jays have sent a small contingent down there to Arizona. I believe they're playing for the Mesa Solar Sox. And there are some Jays like Leo Jimenez and some other guys. And the big one, of course, is Gabriel Moreno, whose stock rose dramatically this year, had an amazing season at AA. So who better to go to for this episode of Spin Rate than I called up Ben Badler of Baseball America. Baseball America been in the prospect game forever. Nobody does it better. Other than Keith Law, who, if you subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/spinrate, you can read what he says about prospects. But you can hear me talk to Ben, Baseball America, about Moreno, about some of the other Jays, some names that maybe jumped up, guys who maybe caught his eye this season. And we're back in full swing. Prospects flying everywhere, minor league ball, complex leagues, you know, down in the Caribbean as well. But with no further ado, I'm going to get out of your way. Before I do that, I, of course, want to say thank you to everybody who listened to Spin Rate this year. First season of the new show. Having a great time. Appreciate your support. Appreciate the feedback. Appreciate the kind words. But let me go and talk to Ben Badler, Baseball America, about some future Blue Jays on this edition of Spin Rate. Ben, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
No, it's you're obviously been following your work, and there's nobody that does that kind of prospect work better than the folks over at Baseball America who've been doing it for so long, and following you for your coverage of minor league teams and the July signings, all that stuff. It's so valuable. It's such a big part of what I think it's a bigger part of what baseball fandom kind of like is now. There's just so many more layers, and people are able to get into it. And I know that, you know, I loved baseball growing up, but I didn't know who anybody was. I'll never forget. I attended Alex Rios's big league debut, and I had never heard of him in my entire life. I'm like, oh, look, there's some big tall kid playing right field. That's cool. I wonder if he's any good. But like, I feel like the fan experience is a little bit different now.
Oh yeah. It's, and the more you follow it and the deeper you get into it, the more you realize just how much bigger it is than you still even realize, and how much more there is to always be learning about the game, whether it's prospects or just the game in general. It's a constant both joy and struggle trying to keep up with all of the new information and new understandings of the game that we have. But yeah, there's just we dive so deep into everything and prospects and scouting and player development. And no matter how much we do, our readers and audience want us to go even deeper, which is awesome. But yeah, it's something we're super passionate about in what we do. So it's a fun time of the year for it too.
It feels like in some ways the, you know, working with prospects and kind of projecting and thinking who's going to be what and what guys are going to be, it can be so like satisfying and vindicating, but also really humbling, I think, because sometimes you'll see like that's what a big leaguer looks like. That guy, I see him and he stands out on the field, or his approach, his swing, his physicality, whatever, that guy's going to be a star. And then sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And it's, again, taking, that's, to me, that's the, also the information that you feel like, I feel like you'd constantly be taking in and trying to like readjust how you see guys in the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's fun seeing guys come up, like, you know, watching Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette, especially when they were in AA in New Hampshire, got to see a ton of them. And it was like, oh man, like Vlad could be an MVP with, I mean, 80 hit and 80 power potentially. Bo Bichette, I mean, both of those guys live up to expectations, but there's so many guys where, gee, I mean, just the more you do it, I feel like you, at least for me, and I think it's true for a lot of people too, when they start writing about prospects, you have a lot of confidence in your ability, and then the more you do it, you realize you might still have confidence in what you do, but like you said, you have some more humility just because you have a longer track record of seeing guys you were wrong about. And you just, I think it forces you to become a little bit more, I think if you have some self-awareness, open-minded about guys where you might be wrong on, and you might not need to have so much conviction in your opinions sometimes. And, cause you've just seen guys go on to prove you wrong, whether they've, you know, turned out better than you thought, or plenty of busts along the way who you thought were going to be, you know, all stars or, you know, even everyday big leaguers who didn't live up to expectations, but I actually don't quite like that term. It's really more your expectations were probably wrong about the player.
Now, with all that being said, I think this is a great time to kind of pivot a little bit, because you learn to be maybe not conservative, but you know, you learn and you get wiser about that confidence, as you said. There's a player currently playing in Arizona, which was one of the reasons for us to start to chat. And he is the number one prospect now, I believe, in the Blue Jays farm system. And his name is Gabriel Moreno. And on a recent Baseball America podcast, for example, some of the ways that he was described were not conservative. They were not, sounded like there was an incredible amount of conviction behind the belief in what some of the folks on the call and what some folks at Baseball America are feeling when they see Gabriel Moreno. So really start off right off the top, like, what is it that makes everyone so excited about what they are seeing from this, you know, catcher in the Blue Jays system?
Yeah, it's interesting because last year was such a difficult year to rank prospects, obviously, right? Like there was no minor league season. Guys were at the alternate training site and instructional league, and there was some winter ball, but it's not the same, obviously, as having a normal minor league season. And Moreno didn't even start out at the alternate training site. He got there at the end, and the reviews on him there were really good, like really, really good, but he wasn't there for that long. And sometimes hard to know how much to take away from that environment. He was good in winter ball too, I believe, in Venezuela, if I'm remembering right. But again, it wasn't a huge sample. So he seemed like a guy who could break out, but I definitely did not expect just how glowing the reviews were going to be from scouts. I mean, we have him as a top 10 prospect in baseball right now. He's number 8 on our current top 100. When we redo our lists, you know, coming up after our full offseason rankings, he's still going to be extremely high. Because the feedback that we got, I mean, look, obviously the performance, I think, is pretty obvious in itself. But and he did get hurt. He didn't play the full season. I get that. But he did play quite a bit. And when he was on the field, I mean, both offensively and defensively, it seemed like pretty much every pro scout we talked to from other organizations, they were all just raving about him. He's always been a very athletic catcher with very good hand-eye coordination. I think over the last few years, he's gone. The Blue Jays have done a very good job to helping him develop as a hitter, because he has that innate hand-eye coordination to make a lot of contact. But he's added some more, I think, you know, bigger, more dynamic movements into his swing, and he's gotten stronger too. And all of that has really helped him drive the ball with more power, with more impact. He gets good reviews too behind the plate. So, I'm not saying he's Adley Rutschman. I think Adley Rutschman is the best catching prospect in baseball. And I think he's the number one overall prospect in baseball. Obviously, Julio Rodriguez and Bobby Witt Jr. are pretty talented guys themselves, but I think Moreno is the number two catcher in baseball. And it's, you know, when we have a guy in our top 10, it's not like we're all that smart. Just those are the guys where everybody is telling us, hey, this guy is really, really, really talented. The track record historically of, I mean, even just the, especially position prospects, pitchers are a little more hit and miss, but certainly position prospects, if you look historically, who have ranked in our top 25 overall prospects, the track record on those guys is excellent. The track record of guys who've been in the top 10 is even better. So again, it's not like, you know, we have some great prescience here on Gabriel Moreno. It's just everybody we talk to pretty much is raving about him. So it's hard to put him too much lower than the top 10.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out. I'm really glad the way that you broke that down, because I think it makes a ton of sense. Because I'm on the outside, or if you just, you know, cover the game as the game, sometimes the thing I've always been struggling with is like, how do guys get better? Like, what is it that makes them better? And then when you hear you describe that with Gabriel Moreno, I think is really telling, because it's like, number one, the body changes, and then the swing changes along with it, and the body and the swing work together, and then the results start to change. Because yeah, you can be, yeah, this guy hit 373 in Double A, and it's like, okay, that's great. But like, when you backfill it with that other stuff, I think that is where this kind of where this prospect helium comes from. And a guy can really like shoot up the rankings, where it's that marriage of performance and the visual evaluation as well, that again starts to scream to you, this is a big league player as soon as he has the opportunity, basically.
Yeah. And I think especially so when you're signing players as teenagers, whether it's, you know, a 17, 18 year old kid out of high school, or in Moreno's case, I forget if he was 16 or 17 when he signed out of Venezuela, but he signs, and you look up his numbers in the Dominican Summer League when he debuted, he barely struck out there, but I believe his average is on base and his slug all started with a 2, right? Like he didn't have any power, but he made a ton of contact. Even I think in the Gulf Coast League the next year, sometimes it was like put the ball in play to his own detriment at times, just because he can make contact with that pitch on the black away in a 2-0 count. Doesn't mean you should swing at that pitch, or probably in his case, even off the plate, he can make contact with it. So I think it's that combination of just maturity as a hitter, the swing changes we talked about, and getting stronger. It's some of that core skill of being able to make contact, the hand-eye coordination, the athleticism, that's all still there. But some of the changes that he's made with the Blue Jays hitting coaches there, I think have really helped him take off over the last couple of years. And it's something, you know, maybe we would have seen it last year. I think obviously with the benefit of hindsight, we probably would have, but we really started to see it a lot more this year, at least when he was healthy.
So when it comes to Arizona Fall League, what is it that you are going to, or we're looking for from a guy like Moreno? So my guess is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that he's mostly there to get reps. You mentioned that he was injured and he did get, barely 150 plate appearances this year between Double A and then Triple A as well. So it's more of just getting him reps, but because I guess maybe the Arizona Fall League competition is a bit of a mixed bag. So just seeing him get his legs under him and seeing his timing, and maybe it's not the prime time for evaluation, but if you're there watching him, these are the kind of things you'll be looking for.
Yeah, I think the Arizona Fall League is perfect for somebody like him who just missed a lot of time during the season due to injuries. I think there's a lot of guys who don't really need to go there. You know, you played a full 140 game season. It makes sense to, or normally you play a full 140 game season, and it makes sense to just to rest sometimes in the off season, or maybe you have a younger player who you want to challenge a little bit more. Maybe they played at the A ball level, and you want to see him face some upper level guys in the AFL. But yeah, for Moreno, it's just a perfect opportunity to, you know, get some more repetitions against a lot of pitchers who are, you know, double A to triple A equivalent arms. A lot of teams don't send their best pitching prospects there, but it's still, you know, comparable guys that you'll be facing in, you know, that you would otherwise face in, say, double A or triple A, or sometimes a little bit lower too, even if they're not the top prospects. But I mean, let's face it, even the guys who are not like big prospects are still throwing, you know, 94, 95 a lot of times. So it's still a good way for, like you said, him to, you know, make up for some lost time and just get some more reps on the field.
So changing gears a little bit, there's another player that maybe, you know, some Blue Jays fans might know who is also there in Arizona Fall League, named Leo Jimenez, who kind of spent a big chunk of the season at A-ball. I'm guessing looks like he drew a lot of walks. I don't know if you have any insight or if I feel like guys like Leo Jimenez, it feels like there's maybe lots of them, you know, kind of like a mid-teens sort of within the team rank, guy that could put it all together and become a utility guy. I'm not sure what you and the team at Baseball America have seen on Leo Jimenez, but anything that you could let some Jays fans know would be great.
Yeah, he's a really unusual guy because, I mean, like you probably look up his stats right now and you can see, geez, a 500 on base percentage or over 500. I mean, that's, again, another guy who didn't play a ton this year, but we were looking it up. It's been a while since a guy, I think, has posted a 500 on base percentage in the minor leagues. And obviously caveats apply because it, you know, I think it was only 50 something games that he did play this year, but he has developed in a really unusual or unexpected way, I think, at least what I expected, because when he signed, he was a very, very smart, just like high baseball IQ, instinctive, fundamentally sound player, especially at shortstop in the field, but not like super explosive, not a ton of like really big, loud tools that you would see from some of his other peers, but you know, had a good clock for the game, and that showed up at the plate too. You can obviously see in his strike zone judgment. But some of the question marks were, you know, would he ever get strong enough to hit the ball with enough impact, or would he go more, you know, like, remember the Jays had Kevin Vicuña for a while, you know, a really slick fielding shortstop they signed out of Venezuela, and just never really got strong enough and materialized offensively. So, all right, was that going to happen with Jimenez? Well, like last year, he showed up, I mean, real bulked up and stronger and looked really good physically. And it sounds like he's hitting the ball, you know, harder than he was a couple of years ago, but it hasn't translated obviously into game power output for him. So you have again, he's still a really smart, instinctive player who really does a great job of controlling the strike zone and getting on base, but it's really hard to have that profile where it's all of your offensive value right now is in just drawing walks to get on base. And he does put the ball in play a lot. So that is another thing that he has going for him too. But can he unlock more power? I think there's some in there, but it's a really unusual profile as a guy who's, you know, who has gotten stronger and answered questions there, but hasn't been able to have that power materialize in game. Now, if you want to be optimistic about it, I mean, Gabriel Moreno is a great example of somebody who, you know, made some swing adjustments for himself to get into more power. But it's not like he's, you know, generating a lot of loft and driving the ball well in the air now, and you're just waiting for power to come with more strength, because the strength is there now. It's just, it hasn't resulted in power production, but also don't want to overlook the obvious that he, you know, posted over a 500 on base percentage this year and has, you know, good contact skills and strike zone discipline. So there are definitely some things there to like, but it's a very unusual profile, I think, to see.
Seems like the kind of guy that you would maybe continue to challenge and say, like, can you continue to do that? Can you be this high, this unusual profile guy against the next level of pitching? Like, can double A pitchers figure you out, or will you figure them out? It seems like the way you describe him in particular makes him like an interesting player to watch, to see how the next kind of year or year and a half goes for him. Now, you mentioned,
I think he's one of the better prospects in their system. It's just a very unusual, shape to his skill set, if you could put it that way.
No, I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me. That you know, it's this different pile. It's compiled in a different way, even though it's the same amount. More spin rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors. I don't want to take too much of your time, but you mentioned, I'm not sure off the air, that you are just there in Boston, so you perhaps get to see the Blue Jays in Manchester more, or the Double A New Hampshire. What are they? Fisher Cats, based in Manchester. Yeah. Is there anybody on that team that really caught your eye? I guess maybe like Jordan Groshans is sort of the top prospect who spent the bulk of the season there. He's probably, again, a name that a lot of Blue Jays fans know. What were some of your observations, or anybody else who may have jumped off the page for you, jumped off the field when you at some of the Fisher Cats games you may have caught this year?
The guy who came through New Hampshire, who's, I think, is really interesting, is Otto Lopez.
Hmm.
Because, I mean, everywhere he's gone, he's hit. I don't think he's like the flashiest guy by any means. And he's, you know, when he was in the lower levels of the system, it was always like, well, is this going to keep working? Like, he seems to have good bat to ball skills and manages his at bats well. But it's not a lot of power. It doesn't seem like a guy who's going to grow into a lot of power. Obviously, sometimes players can surprise you in terms of power development. So I do generally like to bet on guys who do have good barrel feel and make a lot of contact and develop power later on. I think there's probably some more power in BP than what shows up in games, but I don't know that that's ever going to be a big part of his game. And it's, you know, probably not a shortstop long term. Maybe play there a little bit, but probably fits best, you know, moving elsewhere around the diamond. And, you know, he skipped a level, obviously a caveat of, you know, there was no minor league season last year, but he handled it extremely well. He kept hitting at Double A. He kept hitting it at Triple A. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star for the Blue Jays, but I think his skill set has some type of role at the major league level, whether it's, you know, some at second base or filling in the outfield, just moving around the diamond as a utility type guy with a good bat who can put the ball in play a lot and hopefully grow into, you know, maybe not huge power, but enough power to drive the ball with a little bit more impact. So I think he's done a good job of, you know, showing that, yeah, this skill set he has is going to continue to work when he faces more advanced pitching.
Well, he did get to the big leagues this year and everything, and he got a single plate appearance and he struck out. So all kinds of caveats go with your scouting report. Unfortunately, I hate to be the one to tell you, but one strikeout, one plate appearance, cast a lot of doubt on his future.
All right, well, we'll take him off the Blue Jays top 30 then.
I think it's fair. I think it's only fair. Ben, let everyone listening know where they can find you and where they can find your work and what's coming up and what'll I'm sure be a busy offseason of Baseball America.
Yeah, we're working right now at Baseball America on the Prospect Handbook, so Blue Jays top 30 prospects and scouting reports, obviously, and the top 30s for every club in baseball is in there. So we've got our pre-orders available now at baseballamerica.com, and we'll be releasing top 10s and all kinds of other information on prospects and Arizona Fall League players for Blue Jays and obviously all the other clubs as well. So it's a busy time of year. We're juggling a whole bunch of things at once, but it's fun to have a lot of things going on at once as opposed to last year. So I'm quite happy with it.
The good kind of busy. And you can, of course, follow Ben on Twitter as well, at Ben Badler, all one word. Ben, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time. This was a great chat. I really, I think I learned a lot.
Oh, thanks, Drew. I appreciate that. Hopefully we'll chat again soon.
All right. Thanks again to Ben Badler of Baseball America for taking the time to chat with me. Really exciting to hear. And I said it when I was talking to him, but it really made sense to me because the way that he broke down what has made Mourinho's stock rise, body change, swing change, swing change and body change coming together, results, and then the other eyes on from other baseball evaluators, people who have skin in the game, people whose opinions mean things to their own credibility. When they're saying stuff, and I referenced that the Baseball America podcast with Josh Norris, who was just saying unbelievable things about Gabby Mourinho and you know, passing on comments that others have said about, somebody said that they live in Boston, but they'd walk to Arizona to watch Mourinho play. It's really exciting. It's really exciting. And it's something that obviously you can't bet on. You can't, if you're the Blue Jays, you don't want to go too far and install Mourinho as your catcher of the present. But with Mourinho, with Jansen, with Alejandro Kirk, the Blue Jays, if nothing else, have some options. They have some options, and having more catchers than guys to, you know, spots on the roster to hold it down, not a bad problem to have, not even a bad problem to have in the slightest. So really exciting, really interesting that Ben mentioned Otto Lopez as well, who, as I mentioned, a little cameo with the Blue Jays, a single plate appearance, somebody to keep your eye on. Maybe if you are looking for a different version of what Breivik Valera offered the Blue Jays this season, potentially. And Leo Jimenez as well. Again, like there's the Blue Jays have a lot of talent, and it takes on different forms and takes on different shapes and sizes, and guys who could have different kinds of trajectories as on their way to the big leagues or on their way to helping out that big league team. So exciting time. Thanks again to Ben. Make sure you check him out. Make sure if you don't already, you can subscribe to Baseball America and get that prospect handbook. One of my favorite things from Baseball America is they do the top tools, which had quite a few Blue Jays on it in terms of top tools in the game. Vladdy's bat, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s bat showed up quite a few times. Jose Barrios' curveball, among the best pitches in the game, among the best curveballs in the American League. And also, if you're me and you get a kick out of seeing Shohei Ohtani having like the most power and the fastest runner and the best changeup, which is his splitter, which is just, those three things shouldn't be together, but they are in one guy. And he's going to win the MVP. But anyway, that's it. We're going to get out of your hair. We'll talk to you again soon, in a few weeks, back here on The Athletic on Spinner.